Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents Sports Talk Saturday.
Don't tell me. We're about to go over a huge waterfall.
Yep.
Sharp rocks at the bottom?
Most likely.
Bring it on.
On WGR.
Booyah!
Sports Radio 550.
Digging into the archives. Emperor's New Groove type. The sharp rocks at the bottom are actually watching the Buffalo Sabres. Just so you know. Bring it on. No, bring it off, actually. Because I was driving in here. Derek Kramer, solo show here today, only until 1 o'clock, so a short show as well today. Niagara basketball at 1 p.m. We'll probably end up talking with Todd Callen toward the end of the show as well. But there's plenty of time for you. 803-0550 is the number. Get in early, get in often as we can. But as I'm driving in, I was at the game yesterday in the press box, and one of the more infuriating thoughts that you can have driving in today is, all right, the Bills are going to have to play the Steelers without both of their tackles. The offenses look shaky, and at times, very disappointing. Buffalo is sitting there, trying to get things done. And at the end of the day, they are 7-4. This isn't Kansas City, where the Chiefs are sitting at 6-6 now. The Bills had that problem 2 years ago, by the way, standing at 6-6, and playoff odds really looking grim. But the Bills are there at 7-4. They have opportunities to try to get themselves more comfortable and in position this weekend. But yeah, you're looking at this and going, oh, this might be a frustrating game tomorrow. This might be a frustrating game for the Bills against the Steelers. And then you think to yourself, okay, well, what can you do to deal with the misery or deal with a little bit of the pessimism? I mean, the Bandits start tonight. That's good. But if you try to turn to the hockey team, it's not going to work for you. if your escape from bad vibes from football is to try to go and watch hockey, you're either a sicko, like me, or I don't know what else to call it anymore. Because the Sabres are once again proving to be an exercise in futility. Skip back to like a couple, almost a month ago now. The Sabres are looking promising. They had beaten the defending cup champions rather handedly. And I fell for it again. I got my button. I fell for it again. Hooray. Look at me go. Because that's something that the city wants, is to just believe that the Sabres can do something other than exist in last place in the Eastern Conference. That's it. That's all fans are asking for at this point. And yet here we are. Once again, threatening to have the season dead by Christmas. Because the Sabres, who have one win on the road, by the way, have a six-game road trip starting December 3rd. And while the Sabres are typically pretty good with the Western swings, it's typically California they have a lot better of a time with, but next week they start a heavy road trip. They've won one game on the road. Yesterday, the stats will show you they outshot the Devils 42-23. It wasn't as threatening as the shot totals will give you. They were too late crashing the net. There were tons of rebounds. They were not getting there in time. And yet, here we are again. Anytime that this team shows a sliver of hope, a fraction of promise and potential, then there's weeks like this. They lose in Pittsburgh on Wednesday. They lose yesterday. Get shut out in front of a sellout crowd again. And if you lose to Minnesota, who's won 7 in a row, by the way, you go 0-3. They're already back in last place in the East, by the way. That was a fun 4 days. But it's an exercise in futility with this team. It really is. And I guess I should apologize for trying to get out in front of it and be like, hey, maybe they're actually more fun this time. No, they're not. They're not. How are you going to replace the goals from trading J.J. Paterka? The answer is they haven't. They haven't really. They're in the bottom half of the Eastern Conference, bottom half of the league in goals scored. They're on the higher end for allowing goals as well, even though everyone in the Atlantic seems to be doing that. But the Sabres have become, I don't want to say the word useless here, but I don't know what to say. I would like to cover the local hockey team and watch them with a vested interest and it not have to do with people being removed from the organization. Because now, I am looking at this in a selfish perspective. I just want to let that be abundantly clear here. As someone that, you know, I do this show, I do the Extra Point show, I want to be able to talk about something other than the Bills all of the time. It's repetitive. It really is. Then it gets hyper-focused, and then the next thing you know, there's a GM yelling at a radio station show host. Part of it is because the Buffalo Sabres do not allow us an opportunity to talk about them in a way that is meaningful. It's always this. It is always this. The Sabres and their futility help nobody, and it includes the Buffalo Bills. They help no one. Their current existence is to just make people miserable, or worse, make them apathetic towards the Sabres. And apathy is the worst thing. I do not want to become apathetic about this team. There are enough people that work in this building that seem to have gotten there. I'm not going to speak for them, but it is the fact that we do not talk about them. Because it is tiring to talk about the same song and dance with this same team. The Sabres have some issues sometimes with accountability. The players will say it. We got too high on ourselves there. We didn't respect the game of hockey, Tage Thompson said a couple weeks ago. How do you as a team, in its current regime, I don't even want to talk about the playoff drought. I'm talking about its current regime. In the 6 years of this regime, how do you end up getting to a point where you are acting like you're better than anyone when you haven't made the playoffs in the 6 years of this regime? And the answer is, if there are higher-ups that are not held accountable for their failures, then why would you, within that locker room, why would it matter? Your boss doesn't seem to have any issues with accountability when things are not being run right. And it trickles down. It's human nature. It's observation. And last night, with 9 minutes left in the third period of that game, they were only down 4-0, by the way. There was still another goal to be scored. The Fire Adams chants got loud enough that they were carrying through the broadcast. And the worst part about that is, there is no quick fix to this. Because say they fire Adams. There's a new general manager. He has to step in. This, that, and the other. You're probably trading some star players. And you're starting over again. With probably the youngest team in the NHL again. I don't know. Maybe the general manager has a different idea. But what I've seen from them and what they're threatening to show the fans right now is that the season might be dead and in last place in the Eastern Conference with no way out for the second straight year. They would be playing out the string for 4 months. I'm sorry, but that on back-to-back, I don't care if the contract expires at the end of the year. A message needs to be sent that it's not okay. And Paul has said it several times, and I'm fully in agreement with him on this. I hope Pagula is happy. Because this team is not threatening for a playoff spot again. This team is not fulfilling any of its potential. This team is not very good. And even in an Atlantic division where they are refusing to leave everyone behind, Toronto and Buffalo are sitting there at 23 and 22 points. They're not dead. And yet, what faith would you have in the Buffalo Sabres right now that they actually go ahead and get it changed? And remember, this is supposed to be a way to distract you from the Bills having a little bit of a miserable stretch as well. They can't even serve that purpose. And I think more criminal than anything else, it's tarnishing the luster of Lindy Ruff's legacy in Buffalo too. Because the last thing that people are going to remember are these last 2 years. The last 2 years in which, by the way, how you managed to paint the picture externally, I don't know if that's how it was internally, but what it looks like from the outside is, oh, it was Granato. He can't take them to the next step. We'll get rid of him. We'll keep all the assistants, but we're not going to get rid of anyone else. We're going to just bring in Lindy Ruff. And that's it. But you don't get to hire your own assistants, Lindy. So it paints the picture of it's all Granato's fault that they didn't take that next step, right? That's what it looks like. Nope. Matter of fact, last year, you're dead in the water, out of a playoff race before Christmas. And this year, you're threatening to do the same thing for the second year in a row. Clearly, that doesn't look like that was Granato's fault. And I'm not here to pin the blame on Lindy saying that it's coaching. No. But the general manager has now repeatedly said, I regret not taking action during certain stretches. Here's another one. There's a threat of another one. There's a threat of another bad stretch that buries the team. And again, the Sabres are supposed to be an escape. Not just if you're feeling bad about the Bills, but from everyday life too. God forbid if people want to watch a hockey game and try to get entertainment out of it. And the Sabres are not even providing that on a season-long basis. They can't. Last week was fun. That was cool. Hey, remember when they scored 9 goals against the Blackhawks? That was fun. And every time they show a little bit of that twinkle, they don't back it up. And that's where it really hurts. .503-0550 is the number to call. I wanted to open up with that, mostly because I wanted to get my frustrations out about the Sabres, how it looked last night, how it continues to look from the standings, and quite frankly, the misery that they continue to drive into its own fan base, which has got to be the most loyal group of people in the world. They may be frustrated, but they are still showing up and they are still paying to be there because they want to believe in something. And last week you showed them a little bit of it. And now they cannot get it done again. We'll get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll go to Mike in Amherst. Mike, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. What you got?
Good morning. I'm right with you. I'm frustrated. Last night I was there. It's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment to the league. I don't know what Pegula is thinking anymore. Is he even a real owner of this team, or is he an owner that's dead in the water? Like, he doesn't care. Honestly, Adams should have been fired at the start of the season when they went on the losing streak. What gives? You got Alex Tuch on an expiring contract. You got Owen Power that absolutely looks like garbage out there. You got 3 goalies. None of them can absolutely stop pucks. I mean, all aligning shots last day were just horrendous. Why is he still a goalie for the Sabres? Why is UPL still here? And you know, you got Colt now sitting in the press box. What's he going to turn into a big waste too? What is Adams doing behind scenes to even remotely come up with a trade? I mean, you got Alex Tuck that's ready to walk out. Guarantee he walks out at the end of the season, and guess who's going to be next? Thompson, Darlene, the rest of them. I'm frustrated. I'm a loyal Sabres fan. I've been down there for years. Here we are sitting here with our hands wrapped around, oh, let's believe in the team. There's no belief anymore. Sabres fans need to start, like, waking up and start boycotting the Sabres and start sending a message to Terry Pegula. I'll hang up and listen.
Mike, appreciate the call, and there's a lot there. There is. I look at it as, yeah, if you trade players away, more will probably want to follow suit because there will be players that say, I do not want to go through a rebuild. I don't want to have to waste my career with a team that has not been able to get it done. And I have tried to be a part of the difference, for example. But that's where I'm not sure that everyone will request their way out of here. Not everyone, I should say. Because there are some players that want to be the difference. But Tuck, it's contractual at this point. If he's not re-signed by now, is there any realistic option that he will? The three goalies part, by the way. Lindy Ruff himself managed to say a little bit about the frustration of that. And that comes back to the general manager. Do something. You have three goaltenders again in your tenure. And it is hard to manage a roster when you have three goaltenders on the roster repeatedly. It is hard for goaltenders to get into a rhythm if you have three goalies on the roster. You do not get to have somebody in the practice net, even if they are the regular backup. There's always going to be a goalie sitting on the outside of that, not getting regular work. You don't have many teams carrying three goalies, let alone routinely. Who does it routinely? Buffalo. Where's Buffalo routinely been? At the bottom. And the general manager needs to do something. Do something about it. Fix it. It is no longer time for wait and see. You are at the crossroads once again, Kevin Adams. Don't let the train pass in front of your eyes again without doing anything. Simple as that. You cannot have another season where the team looks like it's going to be skidding into the basement of the Eastern Conference and staying there again and do the same exact thing. The definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And the Sabres fans are the ones that are suffering from that approach. That's the problem. You need to do something. You say you regretted not doing something when this team went on its skid last year. Hey, here's your chance. Here's your chance to do something about it. Show that you took a lesson from it. You even have a couple of assets. Teams need a goalie. If you think that Colton Ellis is going to get claimed on waivers, then get something for him. That is part of the recognition on this. If you don't think Ellis is a long-term answer, and you think but you also think he's going to get claimed for nothing, then make a trade and get something for him. Something, anything. Because then at the very least, you free up the clogged net. There's a benefit to that. That's really where it is. We'll keep going here. Adam and Clarence, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. What you got?
Hi, guys. Appreciate the time. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Realistically, I have no idea what we're even doing as an organization anymore. I'll give you a bit of a backstory just real quick. I was born in 99, so I'm a younger guy. Was too young to really experience the joy of the 05, 06, 06, 07 teams. This organization has just completely sapped my love and the love of Buffalo for hockey out of this community. It is disgusting, the fact that I talk to people around me now that may have kids or I know people that have kids, and they ask people, oh, what's your favorite hockey team? Oh, the Edmonton Oilers. Well, why? Because of Connor McDavid. And they go, well, wait, you got a pro team here. It's the Buffalo Sabres. Oh, well, they lose all the time. I don't want to be a part of that. It's sickening, the fact that Kevin Adams still has job security, like you mentioned, unlimited job security. And it's ridiculous that we are spending our hard-earned money. Like you said last night, it's a sellout. The place after the Thompson fight with Nathan was rocking. And you go out and you put out an effort like that, it's just ridiculous. And I will echo the sentiments of the first caller. And it's not against the ticket reps that are saying, hey, do you want to buy quarter seasons, 10 packs, whatever. I cannot seriously keep spending my hard-earned money when it feels like management and ownership. And like you said, some of the players do want to be here. I know they want to make the change. Dalene being one of them. He wears his heart on his sleeve. Same with Thompson. But I cannot justify spending my hard-earned money to watch this when this management and ownership does not seem to care about Buffalo and the fans that have given everything to this team since the 1970s. It's ridiculous. So just to wrap up, I don't know what else to say, but yes, Buffalo, if you have time, money, why are you wasting it on this team until they make a change? They're obviously not going to. So please just, I guess, put your money where your mouth is and stop showing up to spend money to watch this product. That's just my two thoughts, guys, but I appreciate you taking my call. I apologize for getting a little heated there, but no, I'll hang up and listen.
Adam, I appreciate that there are still people. Here's the thing. I got a couple of you calling in right away about the Sabres here today. After a 5-0 loss, people still care. And there are fans that, Adam, they've hit past the point of where you are, past the point of both of the callers that we've taken already, which is you're calling in because you are frustrated. You mentioned there are kids that their favorite team's not the Sabres. My nephew loves the San Jose Sharks. My nephew is 7. He likes the Sharks. He doesn't like the Sabres. The Sharks haven't been good for much of the duration of my nephew's existence. But this year they're better than the Sabres. It is brutal what this team has turned into for an entire generation of fans, let alone for the entirety of the fan base. A fan base that got used to being one of the most successful organizations in all of pro sports. They didn't have the championships to go with it, but they were routinely near the top of the league. The teams in the early 90s with LaFontaine, McGillney, Hasha carrying it through the rest of that decade. The 05-06 run, where they make 2 straight conference finals and are amongst the top of the league. Even into the 2010s, where they started out by being a playoff team, and then it all goes down from there. We all know the date of correlation that people will tie to it. It's tough. It's tough. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll make the transition to the Bills. Alan, you're on hold. Stay there. We'll get to Bills conversations coming up on the other side here on a Sports Talk Saturday, on a chilly Saturday here in Buffalo.
I mean, I just got to be on the opportunity to be able to play with Josh. You can't pass up the opportunity. He's a special player. Like, all you do is hear about this organization from afar being a special place and how they treat players. I mean, it's all about ball, so I'm thankful to be here for sure.
All right. New Bills receiver, Brandon Cooks. Talking about the opportunity to play with Josh Allen, and hopefully this offense can utilize him in a proper setting here. It's going to be a little tougher. Bills will be without Spencer Brown, Deion Dawkins for this game. They might have Dalton Kincaid. He worked his way through practice this week on a limited basis. Hopefully the Bills are able to get something done. And we've talked a little bit of, like, throughout the season, there's been the frustrations about the passing game. Now sitting at 7-4 and you blink the wrong way, you're out of a playoff spot at the current moment. If things go all the way wrong for you over the weekend. But, you know, the fact that there's a non-zero chance that the Bills could be sitting on the outside on Monday. That's not a good feeling at all. To that point, I'm slowly approaching the outlook of, I don't care how you win anymore, just do it. And we'll deal with the nuance during the week. But the closer I get to Sundays, I'm thinking I'm going to start turning into a repeated thought process of, I don't care anymore. I don't care how you win, just do it. Get it done. Especially when you have both of your offensive tackles out. 803-0550 is the number to call. Alan, I promised to get you after the break, and here we are. So, Alan, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, sure, no problem. I just wanted to mention, you know, we talk about Spencer Brown and Deion Dawkins being out. I'll tell you, though, they have not had a good year, either one of them. You look at the three losses, Atlanta, Miami, and Houston. They've been responsible for 12 sacks. I went back and looked at it. They were turnstiles in that Houston game. And Deion Dawkins, I think, leads the league in false starts, 7. And so I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. I listened to Dan Orlowski this week on Steve Tasker, and he thinks the Bills, this is a get-right game for Josh Allen and the Bills. And he pointed out certain areas of that secondary, how they bunch up and how they get confused. And with Brandon Cooks, I just think they're going to take this team apart. You know what's funny, though? I looked at 10-point spreads at the beginning of the week. Three of them had the Bills at 4, 4.5. Two had them at 7, had them at 7.5. Aaron Rodgers comes back. The spread only went down a half. You know, only a half a point. You know, the spread started leaning towards Rodgers, and it's back up today again. So I think, you know, I mean, I don't know how much of a difference. I feared more Mason Rudolph because of the way he can run. He's a running quarterback, and Rodgers is more of a stationary quarterback. And who knows how that's going to be with that hand. You know, and everybody's talking about TJ or, you know, Watt coming in. I just think the Bills learned a lesson, and with the rest, I just feel really good about this game. And, you know, you said that they could be out of a playoff spot. It's very slim. Houston would have to beat Indy, and that's the only way if somehow the Bills blew this game. Because Pittsburgh by Cincinnati, and, you know, everybody's worried about Cincinnati next week. 5 turnovers is what beat the Ravens. That's what beat the Ravens on Sunday. And Lamar looked horrible, absolutely horrible. But you're not going to win any football game with – I think Jared Goff had 5 turnovers in Indy last year and they won – or last week and they – or last year and they won a game. But that's rare. 95% of games you're not going to win with 5. The Bills are early 7.5-point favorites in that game anyway. But anyway, I'll hang up and listen to you. I just feel good about this. You know, everybody's talking about our injuries. The Bears were without 6 defensive starters yesterday and 2 offensive starters, and look what they did. Take care.
Alan, appreciate the call, and thank you for that. I will say, when it comes to the offensive line, do be careful what you wish for. You know, obviously, Brown and Dawkins have not had the best of seasons, but typically, you also can look at it as careful what you wish for, because sometimes you complain about a player, and then the backup is in and go, oh, that's why. Because Brown and Dawkins have been, for several years, amongst the best at their respective sides of the football, or their respective sides of the offensive line, I should say. They've been good. And you do trust them, ultimately,
even when they have rough games. This season has been the one to call into question, be like, hey, what's going on here? But I look at this as sometimes then you see the backups play and go, oh, that's what. And offensive linemen really do thrive on chemistry. And that is a problem that can be sometimes messed with when not one but two of your offensive linemen are missing. At the very least, for the one game that it happens, it could throw things off sorts. Timing, chemistry, communication, anything of the like can be thrown off in that sense. I do worry about it in that way, but also because they have a tough matchup. It's not just TJ Watt. It's Nick Herbig, who has been a very good pass rusher in his own right. It's Alex Highsmith coming back from injury, and he is fantastic for them. So we'll see what happens. It might be a slog it out kind of game. I don't really look at the betting lines for the Bills this year, mostly because they tend to lie. The Bills do, not the betting lines. Well, hang on. It turns the betting lines into liars, I should say. But, you know, that's just kind of how the season has been. Go back to the phones. Bob and Cheektowaga, how you doing? Welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. What you got?
I'm good, my friend. I've been listening to you. I'm sorry I couldn't get back to you while you were talking about the Sabres.
No worries. We can always revisit things.
I cannot totally disagree, absolutely 100%, with what you said about the Sabres. They had zone presence from the start of the game. They were hitting from the start of the game. The third or fourth line change, you had a face-off off the face-off fight where Tage addressed the guy that leveled him last year. We haven't seen an off-the-face-off fight in years. They constantly were hitting through the whole game. They had people in front of the net the whole game. It's totally the opposite view of what you said, where they weren't they had people in front of that net that whole game. I watched it twice. And I was sitting there with my nephew, and we were like amazed that they weren't scoring. And if they play every game like they played last night, they're going to win most of the games the remaining part of the season if they maintain what they did last night.
Bob, I'll keep you on here for a little bit of a tit-for-tat sort of thing here. And it's more or less, if they were more consistent, they were getting to the net, but they sometimes were getting there late. And that's when those rebounds aren't being converted. Because Jake Allen was really putting some of those pucks in front of the net there. The one that really hurts in my mind is Benson lunging and diving to try to get one. And it's because he's just not there in time. It did look like it was a timeliness thing, and they were plugging up the middle a pretty good amount, New Jersey was.
Oh, I disagree, but that's, you know, how we have, you know, that's how the world is, man. But yep. You know what? I respect your view on the game though.
Yeah. And again, I appreciate the call, Bob. And thanks for calling in about it. I hope that they're able to pick things up and turn them around starting tonight. I do want them to turn things around. Why? Well, just for something different. Every year, it's the same thing of, you know, the Bills, depending on how things are going with their variants, but they're ultimately typically a playoff team, and we'll see what happens in January. And then that frustration shows up. But the Sabres are not in the conversation. And I think I speak for a large amount of people when I say I just want them in the conversation again. 2023 was cool. The 2022-23 season was really cool in that sense. They inserted themselves into a conversation about the playoffs and were eliminated in game 81. It's also the most unique season probably in the entire playoff drought because they actually threatened to make it. Take a timeout. Come back here. Booty cheek of the week. We got business to conduct. We'll look at what was wrong throughout the weekend in sports and a certain Thanksgiving side dish is going to be on the hit list.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
There it is. Booty Cheek of the Week on every Sports Talk Saturday.
Your show's the one that's the booty cheek.
It's been a while since I did a Weinerline voice. Outside of, you know, everyone that got duped by the Sabres yesterday and going to that game, it was a sellout. You poor souls. I was also there. So I guess I'm with you. I got stuck in traffic at some point like so many others did, even though people were leaving early. It did not help. It did not help in some spots. That's okay. But for me, here's something that's not on the list of the booty cheek of the week, and that's Thanksgiving. I'm a big Thanksgiving guy. I like going to, you know, spend time with family and enjoying food. And there's always a dish, there's always a side dish that upsets me irrationally. Cranberry sauce. And now hang on. Cranberry sauce, when done right, is good. However, there are still people out there, whether you know them or not, that they grab the cranberry sauce in a can. Canberry sauce. I'll tell you right, Evan, have you ever had canberry sauce?
I don't think so, and I think maybe years ago, and I just thought it's not my thing. I don't like cranberry sauce, whether it's not in a can or not in a can, basically.
But there is a difference.
Right.
Like, and so oddly enough, Joe Calley, our usual co-host in that chair, he said fighting words earlier this week on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show when he said he despises turkey and he would rather have a rotisserie chicken.
Now that's taking it a little bit far.
Evan, I almost jumped through the glass.
Yeah. Turkey's great, and I think turkey is overhated, in my
opinion. It's overhated, but like a cranberry sauce, if not done right, it can really turn people off.
Right.
Cranberry sauce is that... it is the literal visage of that, of the saying. If you don't do it right, it can ruin it for everybody. That gelatinous substance... yeah, so there it is. Hating on cranberry sauce here. Well, canberry sauce. But again, with turkey too. If it's too dry, it can mess people up, and that's something there. But yeah, there it is. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving weekend. If you didn't get to celebrate on Thanksgiving on its actuality, I know people that, like, you know, you work in retail, anything of the sort like that, or if you are just working, you know, it's something that happens, unfortunately. But I hope you were able to make up for it over the weekend as well, or throughout this weekend here. Take a timeout, come back, dive into the nitty-gritty of the Bills and Steelers here as we're in for only another hour. Pat Mellicaro will join us at the bottom of the hour as he's going to be calling the Niagara basketball game today against Detroit Mercy.
Yeah, so, I mean, you just kind of take it like every other week. You never know if you're going to be playing right or left. And, you know, today at practice, I got most of the reps on the left, so I'm going to get my sets on the right after practice and just see how it goes and be ready for either or what happens.
Bills offensive lineman Ryan Vandermark, swing tackle, who is going to be called upon to be one of the starters here for the Bills this weekend against the Steelers. In what's going to turn into a bit of a pivotal game here for Buffalo and for Pittsburgh alike. Both of them putting themselves into precarious positions, I would so to say. And really, for the Bills, it's an opportunity to try to solidify a claim within the wild card race for one of the three spots available there. Sports Talk Saturday, hour number two here. Derek Kramer, thanks for hanging out with us here. Appreciate everyone that's called in so far as well. Pat Mellicaro will join us at the end of the show here as Niagara takes on Detroit Mercy. That game getting started at 1 o'clock. So we'll be going right to the courts after the show here at 1 o'clock. 803-0550 is the number to call. How are you feeling about Bills and Steelers? Are you nervous about this? Are the injuries starting to become a little bit of concern there? Both offensive tackles out. The defense obviously still dealing with its litany of injuries throughout the season. Is this the year that you really just throw up your arms and go, I don't care how the wins happen now? How are you feeling? Getting a temperature check on it. It's cold outside. Is it cold in your hearts as well about the Bills season? I want to be very careful about this. Because the amount of times that I've said this year and it's blown up in my face, I really don't feel like doing it again. I don't feel... when you have to constantly wipe the egg off your face, it's not a good feeling. That said, I don't know how much I respect the Pittsburgh Steelers. Problem is, if I say I don't respect them at all, and the teams come out with matching 7-5 records, I'm going to be kicking myself. I do subscribe to the idea that nothing I say matters. Ultimately, at the end of the day, what I say is not going to change the dynamics of the game the day beforehand. No show is that important, that words can change the actions on a football field. No person is that important. So I do think that, you know, anything that I say ultimately is conjecture. It's not going to mean much of anything. It's not going to impact the game. So if I do say the Bills should win against the Steelers, it's not necessarily my fault. If they don't, it irritates me, though, when it happens. Oh, they're going to crush Miami. They get crushed by Miami. That one was kind of funny, seeing that video go and making the rounds about Zach and I saying, oh, everything's going to be just fine and dandy here. And then it proceeded to very much not be. But here's the thing. None of my words matter about what's going to happen on the field. They don't matter. It's just here to talk with you. It still is one of those things where I still don't necessarily want to say it, mostly because this Bills team has, at points this year, betrayed our expectations, even if only for a week at a time. Frustrations about the Bills and the passing attack? Well, here's the Tampa Bay game. They're throwing deep balls. And it's working, by the way. But then the next week against, well, 4 days later against Houston, you get away from it. Why? Because Houston has sticky man corners that they can really be there with a wide receiver, and the Bills don't have a good time against man coverage as it is. Houston's defense is great. And they flex their muscles on that. And even then, you still got almost to the red zone before the game ended with less than a minute left. In three of their four losses, despite everything, they've been in it the whole time. New England, it was the grossest first half that you could ever see. I'm pretty sure, what, was it like 3 points were scored between those two teams in the first half, if I do recall correctly? Evan, help me out on that. In fact, check that for me. The first half of Buffalo and New England, I'm pretty sure it was only 3-0. But for the most part, though, nobody's out of that game, neither team, despite the fact that the Bills are losing the turnover battle handedly in that game, 3-0.
It was 6-3 at halftime.
That's right. That's what the leaky fart running down the leg was in that first half. It was 6-3. Thank you for making sure of that. Either way, it wasn't great. And then Atlanta, despite how much the defense hemorrhaged yards and points in the first half, the Bills were in that game. The defense, as a matter of fact, corrects the first half woes and keeps them in the game, allows them an opportunity. And then Houston. The defense has a bad end of the first half, allows Davis Mills to throw all over them. But they flex their muscles in the second half with whatever is left of the roster. The paperclip defense did its job. And it was the offense that got frustrated by a talented Houston defense. But more times than not, in their losses, it's the offense that is letting them down. They're the ones committing a bunch of turnovers. They're the ones not moving the football effectively as often. It's the offense that is letting them down. The defense is doing enough with the group that they have now. For the rest of the season, the injuries that have piled up on that side of the football, they're holding on really for dear life to end this season. And maybe Ed Oliver's able to come back for the postseason. That would be really nice, especially with the season that he had. Three sacks in three games. Three sacks in three games, by the way, is tied for second on this team. And that's another frustrating point for another time. But ultimately, the offense is the one that is really starting to irritate a lot of fans, pundits, across the country. And there's two people that you typically look at here with the biggest concerns on the offense, the offensive coordinator in Joe Brady and general manager Brandon Bean. Josh Allen has not been as good this season either. Let's go ahead and make sure to say that. It's okay to say it. He has to play better. He can play better. But the thing is that of the three names that I mentioned, I trust one of them to do that. And that's Allen. Obviously, earlier this week, the Bills signed Brandon Cooks. A player that a couple years ago would have been really fun to have. He has a consistent career to him. The last few years, though, it's been a much less diminished return for him in his output. But my biggest fear with Brandon Cooks being brought in here is, as a boundary receiver, am I going to get anything consistent here? And it has nothing to do with the player. It has to do with the scheme. I'm really starting to wonder if Joshua Palmer has himself a better season if it's not within this scheme. The scheme is not friendly to boundary wide receivers, and I still have yet to really recognize why. But again, there's been this constant thing about talking about wide receivers to a point where I don't like doing it, but it keeps coming up. It keeps showing itself as an issue, be it the talent that's on the roster or the schematics that are going through it. Khalil Shakir was not used exclusively as a screen and gadget guy last year. So I don't know what the heck is up with that all of a sudden, but it needs to change. Shakir, last year, Khalil Shakir gets 76 catches on 100 targets. It is still the same average yards per catch. And yet, it's much less to do with yards after catch because of the fact that he's catching it right away on screens. Shakir's yards after catch are coming through the damage of cutting through the middle, not just being the screen guy. It's from finding the sticks and making the plays. His average depth of target is not going to make a lot of things happen. And that's where you look at the scheme and go, is this good enough? Is Joe Brady's offensive scheme good enough to win consistently? And the answer that we've seen so far by the Bills this year is no. Not really. But the Bills have had this issue all year. Even in a couple of the wins before they start losing a couple games in week three, week four, you start to see it a little bit against Miami and against New Orleans. What's going on here? The offense is playing its C game and they're still scoring 30 points. It's more to do with the quality of opponent, but it seems like something's off. And you felt dirty initially talking about it and pointing out the woes of the team despite the fact that they're 4-0. And throughout the season, we've seen it. The offense has been very inconsistent this year. From the highs of the Kansas City game or Tampa Bay. But then, with every loss, it is the offense does not put its best foot forward and does not offer up good enough support. Miami, the Bills' defense tried to hold on for as long as they could. They really did. And then the floodgates opened and there was no real way of coming back from that game. But the offense has been a little bit on the disappointing side considering the quarterback. Considering that James Cook is having himself another great year. But the thing is that unlike with how I opened the show with the Sabres and the anger and the frustration,
I do understand acutely here that at November 29th, you are not going to see any changes made until the offseason. You're just not. It is too late now. A couple of years ago when they fired Ken Dorsey, they hit 5-5. So we're too far gone, I think, from being able to make a change at this point. And it's not going to be something that we know anything about until the end of the season, if there are changes made. But we have to ride this season out. We have to ride the season out, and we'll see what happens here. 803-0550 is the number to call as we get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, West New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll go to Scott in Williamsville. Scott, welcome to the show. What you got?
Hi, thank you. Well, you kind of just said it at the end there, because my question to you was, I mean, how bad does it have to get for Bills fans that they're going to make a move? I mean, if you look at the Sabres, was it not bad after 10 years, 11, 12, 13, 14? I just don't understand it. And I really think that, yeah, they may make coordinator moves, but Bean and McDermott, I think they signed the extension at the beginning of last year. I don't think Pegula does anything. And I mean, there's so many aspects with Bean. Just take that Claypool, Valdez, Scantling, Cooper, Samuel, Hardman, Palmer, Moore, that those were supposed to be the answer. I mean, just that alone, besides the first, second, and thirds of the past years that are no longer on the team, it's just, I don't know how long. You're walking into a probably close to $3 billion stadium when it's all said and done, and they're not going to do anything. And it's just, it's amazing to me that, what was the change? I mean, Ben Johnson, my gosh, unbelievable, and Vrabel. Just a quick move can change the fortunes. And real quickly, last thing. You look back on the Houston game. I mean, forget all the games, but you had a 100-yard receiver, a 100-yard rusher, and you got a bonus kickoff return for a touchdown, and you lose. It's just unbelievable. I hope people – but they still support it. That's what I don't get. You're selling out the Sabres last night, and they'll be at that stadium putting down their PSL money, and I don't get it. But I'll leave it to you. Thanks.
Scott, I appreciate the call. And you mentioned the part about Houston where there was a 100-yard receiver, a 100-yard rusher. Taking almost 100 yards worth of sacks will also undo that. That's what happened. Allen was sacked 8 times, and a couple of them were for a lot of yards. So if you negate one of those performances just out of sacks alone, yeah, that's kind of how it happens. And that's where I think Brady, it's getting more and more curious to me. You saw the game, and throughout it, they're not getting protection with 5. It's just not happening. At some point, if 5 are not getting the job done protection-wise, including the fact that both Dawkins and Brown were apparently playing through injury, it turns into the offensive coordinator's job is to protect with more. Add protection schemes. Make sure there's more chips going on. There weren't as many in the second half. It becomes the offensive coordinator's job. If 5 is not getting it done on the blocking scheme, you need to add. But then you look at the other side of the coin. Because Carl Jones said it, and I really liked when he said it. The other side of the coin is you're asking this receiver group to win against probably the best man coverage defense in the NFL. There's almost no winning in that sense. But how do you do it? A running back gives a chip, and you're feeding them the football. James Cook and Ty Johnson have receiving touchdowns in that game. Oh, not Ty Johnson, excuse me. Ty Johnson was the week before. But the Bills, they get these answers. Yeah, Cook and Johnson, the receiving touchdowns, were from the Tampa game. By the way, those are things that worked that you went away from. Again, it becomes the offensive coordinator's job. If five-man scheme is not doing the protection, it's not getting it done correctly, you need to be able to draw it up as the coordinator. That is your job. We'll keep going here. Mike in Lakewood. Mike, what you got for us? Welcome in.
Thank you. I was wondering, you know, McDermott kind of ran off Dable because he didn't like his high-flying offense. I was wondering, to what degree do you think Brady either lacks imagination, vision, or the ability to adapt, and how much he may or may not be handicapped by McDermott's sort of more conservative nature?
Mike, I'm glad you called about that because it does seem like it's a personality clash between Dable and McDermott. Dable runs hot. Like, we saw it in New York with the Giants. He's screaming at concussion spotters about Jackson Dart because Russell Wilson's throwing a forward pass into the ground. And McDermott's more of an even-keeled kind of guy. Dable looks like he's just too fiery of a person. It's a personality clash. It's not because of the high-flying offense. As a matter of fact, McDermott several times this year has proven it to kind of be the opposite of what you might think it is. Like you mentioned that, Mike, that it might be that it's McDermott's influence here. McDermott has said several times about having concerns about the passing game. Most famously after Atlanta, saying my concerns are your concerns about the passing game. That's not a coach that wants it to be influenced this way. I get the perception. Defensive coach, running the football, clock control, yada, yada. But McDermott's the one that says in 2020 when the Bills signed Emmanuel Sanders, we don't want to lose our fastball. McDermott's the one saying my concerns are your concerns with the passing game. More and more, it is sounding like the guy who came up under Andy Reid is understanding and evolving his mindset. The one thing that McDermott does need to change is the promotion from within right now. I do think that he does need to hire someone from outside the organization for the offense if there's going to be a move made there. I do think that needs to be different. But I don't think that McDermott is the one being the puppeteer when it comes to the offense's identity right now. 803-0550, the number to call. Bills, Steelers, how are you feeling about this game? We'll even go through a couple of the games that might matter more when we're watching around the scoreboard as well across the league. And then we'll talk with Pat Malacaro at the bottom of the hour as we get to Niagara basketball at 1 o'clock here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor, ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Just understanding, you know, that back against the wall mindset, feeling like we've been in a situation like this, if not worse. You know, we'd love to be 11-0 right now, as would everybody else in the NFL. You know, that's why we play the game on the field, not on paper. And ultimately, again, it's our goal to go out there and win every single game, and we haven't done that. But again, every week's an opportunity to go out there and prove to ourselves that we do have what it takes.
Josh Allen talking about a precarious position, backs against the wall, and that they've been here before, and he's not wrong. 2 years ago was probably more frustrating than it is now. God, I do remember 2 years ago of just not wanting to come in here to do this show. Mostly because of how miserable that season had turned out to starting to become. They're at 6-6. The Ty Dunn article comes out. It's like everything's just hell itself. And it just almost seemed like miserable to talk about this team. But now, they're starting to get frustrating in a sense, similar to a couple of years ago, where they are a top team statistically on offense again, but it does seem like those numbers are not telling the whole story. So there is something there. There's a little bit of frustration brewing there. The other team is helping nothing, again, by the way, as usual. But it is better and worse at the same time as 2 years ago. 2 years ago, the division is seen as relatively not in reach, realistically, and yet they win it. Mostly because the Bills had their opportunity and they took it. But more importantly, because Miami went ahead and gave it up. Bills get to 8-4, for example. There's an opportunity here. But the problem is, and this is where it's worse at the same time, New England keeps winning. The Patriots are proving not to be the Dolphins. They are taking advantage of a soft schedule. And boy, is it soft. But they're taking advantage of it. That is the key here. And who's New England's next opponent? Oh, Monday night. It's the Giants, 2-10 and 0-7 on the road. Cool. Problem is the Bills lost to Miami. The Bills have lost to the Falcons. So they don't really get to get away with saying something like, you know, a soft schedule. I don't get to get away with saying that. Why? Because the Bills lost games that they should have won. 803-0550, the number to call. Go to Rick. Rick, what you got for us?
Hey,
last time I remember that the Bills are anything, Buffalo won anything was when I was at the championship game in 1964 in the old Rock Pile. And in the meantime, I remain a steadfast Buffalo fan. I mean, I brought up and raised here. But these guys lately, I mean, I can't say anything else, but they stink, both of them. And I wonder, the other thing I was wondering is, do you think the coaches, all the players listening to this radio station and actually listen to the fans, I mean, my sister and I were at the game last night, the Sabres game. We thought we could call a better game than Joe Brady. I mean, the guy has no imagination whatsoever. This is so frustrating. I just walk, before I die, I won a championship one day and another, standing up for the Super Bowl. It's frustrating.
I hear you, Rick. It is frustrating for both teams right now, and thank you for the call. The Bills situation is not as dire. I mean, obviously, they're 7-4. They are in a playoff spot. It's just not the usual style that this group has gotten you to. But we've seen this before. It was a couple years ago. They're not going to get away with getting the division out of this, I don't think. Again, mostly because New England's taking advantage of their schedule. Miami did not a couple of years ago. And the Dolphins proved to be the truest of paper tigers. So I don't think the Bills are going to get away with the division. That said, they'll still probably make the playoffs. Can they be better? Yes. The only problem is it's happening every other week. As of right now. And when we get to the playoffs, every other week is not going to cut it. You need to go on a run. And I don't, that's the part where the Bills scare me is I don't know if they have the run in them this year because they are a wildly inconsistent bunch in a wildly inconsistent AFC. That is the part that is going in their favor. The rest of the conference also stinks on the grand scale. New England sitting there at 10-2. I think they're fine. They played Buffalo well, but even then they needed 3 turnovers to win by 3 on a last-second field goal. So it could be worse. The problem is they're not good on the road this year, and they're destined right now to be a road playoff team. I don't know what to tell you other than the math is mathing there. So that's what that is. Got time for one more here. Steve in Texas. Steve, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. What you got, man?
Hey, man. What I got is, first of all, you know, this is coming from somebody that went to that Texans game like I do every year and mm-hmm. watched this team absolutely act like they don't know how to game plan or have anything dynamic on offense. So I'm a little emotionally crushed, but I think the biggest thing is, I mean, Joe Brady and Babich are young coordinators and they're learning on the job in the Super Bowl window, and I think the only positive thing that we can hope for with them is that, you know, they're having their mistakes now and they're going to improve, and what they're showing us isn't their complete body of work or what they're capable of. I think there's a lot of schematic issues and they do have middle of the road talent and a lot of gadget players, but they're not using them to their strong suits. So I'm hoping that by the time we get to the playoffs, which I think they're still going to make it, I think it's an 11-win mm-hmm. team, that they can put it together and put on some kind of run.
Steve, I appreciate the call, and it's exactly your last sentence is what I was getting to, which is, does this team have the consistency in them? And that's the biggest question. Because the rest of this conference is kind of there's no Seattle in here. There's no St. Louis. There's no Los Angeles Rams in here. Heck, even the Eagles, looking over on the other side in the NFC, they're not the same thing that they were last year. The problem is the Bills have more matchup nightmares than positive matchups at this point. But, again, there's an entire
NFC West. The Packers are impressive. The Lions, even sitting there at 7-5, are better than their record. Dallas is starting to turn it on, and it's too late for them, I think. At 6-5-1, they might not be able to make enough of it because the NFC is the better conference this year. Detroit at 7-5 is out of the playoffs. The NFC is top to bottom the better conference this year. While the AFC boasts the NFL's best record, it's New England. And again, it's against the weakest strength of schedule this year. Even Chicago, their strength of schedule has moved up. New England is facing, quite literally, the softest schedule in the league. They're taking advantage of it. They're 10-2. But even Buffalo's strength of schedule has moved up drastically. Well, you're playing a first-place schedule versus a fourth-place schedule. That makes sense. I just look at this team in Buffalo and go, the one thing that you've got going for you is that everybody in the AFC has questions. But the old guard is suddenly not standing there. And by old guard, I mean last year's division winners, last year's Super Bowl contenders. Of last year's AFC Super Bowl contenders, the Bills are the one in the best spot. Kansas City, Baltimore, 6-6 and out of the playoffs as of right now. Baltimore has an easier road than Kansas City, just win the North. But the Bills could actually do no favors to the Ravens if they lose to the Steelers. But of the three, the Bills, the Chiefs, the Ravens, it's Buffalo that has the best situation. Which is strange to say how weird this year is, but also if the great equalizers as the quarterbacks are not able to carry the flaws that have developed through some of these rosters and some of these teams, or in Baltimore's sense, more of coaching. If the great equalizers cannot be the great equalizers, the NFL is showing you get out of the way. At least this year, get out of the way. Because teams are getting it done with quarterbacks on cheaper contracts. And that is supposed to be what it is. The great equalizers, the quarterbacks, need to be at 100%. We'll take a timeout. Come on back here. We'll talk with Pat Malacaro to end the show before we kick it over to Niagara Basketball, taking on Detroit Mercy at 1 o'clock here on WGR. Last segment here of Sports Talk Saturday. Thanks to everyone that's called in today, jumped in, listened in. Appreciate every one of you. Always do. And we're getting ourselves ready to go, wrapping up for the weekend here. Busy weekend for our broadcasting, just as programming notes for all of the things that are going on here today. You got Sabres tonight, 8 o'clock face-off, 7 o'clock pregame here on WGR. You've got the Bandits playing at News Radio 930 WBEN, 7:30 face-off. The UB Bulls at 6 o'clock over on the Bet 1520, taking on Canisius. And in a few moments here, we'll have Pat Malacaro to talk about Niagara basketball as they're taking on Detroit Mercy at 1 o'clock. So we got a whole lot of sports going on here. And then, of course, tomorrow, pregame coverage starting at 11 a.m. for Bills and Steelers. And now joining us on the Western Hotline, just to get ready to go here for Niagara and Detroit Mercy, Pat Malacaro joining us from the courts. And Pat, welcome in.
Hey, Derek, great to chat with you. The Purple Eagles just taking the floor now, just about 6 or 7 minutes away from teams being announced in 1 o'clock-ish tip-off this afternoon for a team looking to bounce back. It was a fun week a week ago at Duke University and taking on the Blue Devils and then Howard University on Saturday. But for the Purple Eagles, looking to pick up a victory today against a team they played very tough last year in the Motor City.
And not to mention, though, for Niagara, it's been a lot of time on the road for them a little bit here. They started most of their season on the road, and here they are in Dwyer Arena trying to get themselves another win on the season here. Pat, what's it like for this Purple Eagles team as they're trying to get themselves started here with the season?
It's kind of the theme we've seen over the last couple of years is so many new players in the program. Last year, Greg Paulus had a complete roster turnover with his coaching staff where there were no returning players to the roster going into last season. This year, there are a couple of holdovers from last season, including one of the top players in Justin Page, who will be in the starting five this afternoon. Also, Landon Williams, who has come off the bench in the past. Will Short, who is now factoring into a big part of the team this year, a big man out of Sydney, Australia. So there are three returning players and two making big impacts on the roster. And you're right. They will play a lot away from the Gallagher Center until conference time. That's just the nature of, you know, mid-major college basketball going on the road.
Right.
They'll be at VCU and take on Morgan State in a couple of weeks as well. Took on Duquesne to begin the season. But they're a team that's really finding its way now, and this is something that the coaching staff has had to get used to the last couple of years. And I think going through what they did last season and seeing how players reacted, finding the chemistry and all that goes into it, I think they're better for it this year.
And I think one of the benefits for Niagara here as well is going to be, like, yeah, the conference schedule is going to start opening up there, and you will be getting a little bit more of them playing at Gallagher Center, and they are going to be able to get themselves a little bit more acclimated to home. This is, I think, what, their only second game playing in the Gallagher Center this year?
Yeah, second of three non-conference home games. And the way the MAC works, they'll actually go on the road next weekend, next Friday and Sunday, for conference play, because there's so many teams in the conference now, can't fit them all in at the start of the new year. So there is a weekend of conference play. The last couple of seasons, the Purple Eagles have hosted that first weekend of conference play. This year, they'll start on the road at Siena next Friday to open up the MAC schedule.
All right, Pat. Well, we'll get you out of here, get you ready to go, and make sure that we get you there on time here. As we know, we here at WGR are always great at managing the clock.
I appreciate it, Derek, and we'll chat with you soon.
Pat Malacaro there on the Western Hotline. You'll hear plenty more from him coming up next year as Niagara basketball takes on Detroit Mercy at the Gallagher Center. Tip-off set for just after 1 o'clock here. So, thank you to everyone that's called in today. For my producer, Evan DiPasquale, I'm Derek Kramer. This has been another edition of Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. Pregame coverage for Bills Steelers, again, starting at 11 a.m. tomorrow. Sabres pregame starting at 7 o'clock. Bandits, 7:30 faceoff. You can hear that over on News Radio 930 WBEN as well. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.